please listen carefully.
Hello, and welcome to the Optimist Daily's weekly roundup. I'm Ariel.
And I'm Carissa, and we're working hard to put solutions in view and optimism in movement.
Hello, hello. We're back with another episode of our pod. How are you doing today, Carissa?
I'm doing good today, Ariel. I feel like I've had a pretty good, productive week, and, mm-hmm. you know, the sunshine is really helping, I feel like, get me a little bit more motivated. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had a pretty productive week. It's been a little bit warmer, and I don't know, I've kind of been getting back into a couple of things that I have slacked on the past couple of months, like my yoga practices. Mm. I'm trying out a new yoga studio, which is a lot of fun, and so that's been a really good, like, change in the workout and kind of, like,
yeah, shaking up your schedule a little bit and refocusing on yourself.
Yeah.
I kind of have a similar situation, but I've just been sick, getting one cold after another, but I actually felt pretty mm-hmm. good this week. And so I started going back to my spin class, and I did a little bit of yoga this morning as well.
Yeah, that's super great, Ariel. And that kind of brings me into my solution about recovery and feeling better, maybe not 100% better, but working towards getting better.
Okay, nice. I'm interested.
The subject at hand is coral reefs restoration. So I guess I'll dive right in if we're ready.
Go for it.
The title of my solution is Reef Stars Revival, Innovative Solutions to Coral Reef Restoration. As we know, coral reefs are these vibrant undersea ecosystems brimming with life, but they're experiencing an existential crisis. With forecasts indicating that 90% of these unique ecosystems may perish by 2050, immediate action is required. But despite this grim picture, scientists are discovering new and ingenious methods for coral reef rehabilitation. So I was super excited to see this solution because I feel like I really love ocean solutions. I mean, any environment solution is really good, but coral reefs in particular are just so special and unique.
Do you have any experience like snorkeling or diving and seeing coral reefs in action?
I don't, but it's always been one of my bucket list items to go to, like, you know, like off the coast of Australia, like the Great Barrier mm-hmm. Reef and stuff would be super exciting to see.
I just went once a long time ago in Belize, and it was just a very local guide mm-hmm. and it was an incredible experience. So whenever I think about coral reefs, like having their blanching events and dying out around the world, it makes me so sad because it yeah. was such a magical experience to see all of the living creatures just weaving in and out of the corals. But this makes this solution extremely intriguing. So what's going on with it?
So this solution kind of focuses around Dr. Timothy Lamont and his team at Lancaster University. And they led a groundbreaking coral reef regeneration research project. They discovered a source of hope while assessing the effectiveness of the Mars Coral Reef Restoration Program. Lamont's team observed amazing healing after planting sand-coated steel frames known as reef stars on a destroyed reef off the coast of Indonesia.
Oh, wow. Sand-coated steel frames. What do these, like, reef stars look like?
I had to look into this because it's kind of hard to picture. I was just picturing, like, an actual, like, star, you know? And so if you go onto the website, the project gives a better visual if you really want to see it, but I'll try to explain it. So it's kind of like a hexagonal half cage, kind of like a gardening trellis in a way, but not super tall, like not making an archway, but it functions as a trellis. And, you know, they really help encourage the growth of these corals.
Yeah, it is kind of like an underwater trellis.
Yeah, that's like the best way to describe it. So definitely go on their website if you want a better visual. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they're pretty cool. And like, as I said earlier, they're coated in sand and it helps facilitate this growth of coral. I'll get into a little bit more, though, about the reef under investigation, because this reef in the project had been severely damaged by blast fishing 3 or 4 decades prior, which left behind a really dismal landscape of ruins.
Oh, wow. Blast fishing just sounds aggressive.
Yeah, it's a really harmful activity, and it's where explosives are detonated underwater to catch fish. And it not only kills marine life, but it also destroys coral formations, which leaves them in a mess of detached coral debris.
Wow.
Yeah, so not great. As Lamont goes on to say, the loose rubble impedes coral larval growth, hindering natural recovery, And that's where these reef stars come in, because they're carefully placed and fastened to the seafloor, and they provide stability and allow coral larvae to grow. So yeah, the trellis function.
That's cool. I also never thought about coral having like larvae.
Yeah, I know I learned about it at some point in science classes, but I can't recap off the top of my head the exact process, but they're super interesting little guys. So these artificial coral reefs can save damaged ecosystems, but there's kind of a difference between artificial and natural reefs. Natural coral reefs have a varied range of species, including enormous, encrusting, and plating corals, which help to maintain the reef's structural integrity. But in contrast, rebuilt reefs frequently host a predominance of fast-growing species that were initially tied to reef stars in this situation, which leaves experts questioning whether reef stars save coral reefs but sacrifice biodiversity in turn.
It's like a trade-off then.
Yeah, exactly. Lamont explains that what we see now is not necessarily what will come in the future, and he goes on to say the first years of recovery always exhibit dominance by fast-growing species, whether through natural or artificial means. So there is hope that, you know, the biodiversity could be restored as this goes on. So, And in this project too, the carbonate budget is an important indication of coral reef health, since it depicts the total expansion of the reef structure.
What is carbonate budget exactly?
Carbonate itself is a chemical compound that makes kind of like a salt-like mineral, and it's part of what coral reefs are made of. The other material is calcium, so calcium and carbonate are very important. There's a little bit of the science of corals. And so, yeah, in turn, the carbonate budget is the net rate of the carbonate production in the reef. So,
okay.
As Lamont goes on to say, a healthy coral reef has a positive carbonate budget and produces roughly 20 kilograms of limestone per square meter per year. This parameter kind of measures the reef's ability to sustain itself and the existence of healthy coral ecosystems. So more carbonate production is better. Lamont's team discovered a positive carbonate budget in the rebuilt reefs of Indonesia, indicating that the restoration work had been effective.
Oh, great. Amazing.
Really good news for this research and project. And these reef stars are addressing immediate problems, but of course they're not the cure to the larger issue of climate change, which are really affecting the coral reefs.
Yeah, I guess this only like addresses like the coral reefs that are damaged because of blast fishing, as you said, or other destruction.
Yeah.
But yeah, climate change would pose a really big threat that isn't necessarily directly addressed by this.
Especially, you know, the rising ocean temperatures, they're a really serious danger to coral resiliency. But, you know, there's other ways that scientists are also trying to remediate this issue in the meantime. There's novel ways, including assisted evolution and sexual reproduction, that are being investigated to help coral reefs as well. So
yeah, that's great.
Despite these challenges, you know, the potential of coral reef restoration with these little reef stars is a pretty good ray of optimism. So
yeah, that's amazing. I mean, the climate crisis is so multifaceted, so it's really nice to know that we're tackling it from a lot of different angles. It's cool that the reef stars are involved, and then there's the sexual reproduction research and assisted evolution. I think that it's really, really cool to be able to tackle it from all sides, or from as many sides as we can.
Yeah.
My story also has to do with, I guess it's kind of like a human rights solution, but also tying in conservation and promoting harmony with nature.
Okay.
So we have a very nature-themed podcast today. I picked my article because while I was reading it, I realized that I also have this preconceived notion of who a safari guide is. And if I'm being completely honest, like, I obviously believe in gender equality and I am a feminist, but the first image that pops into my mind when someone says safari guide is a man, if I'm being completely honest.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree. I think that's usually what's shown in media and such. So
I did go on safari a while back, like 2016 or 2015 or something. And all of the guides were men.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, today I'm going to shine a spotlight on the incredible women safari guides in Botswana who are working hard to break gender stereotypes and reshape the narrative of the entire industry.
Ooh, this sounds pretty interesting.
So the title of the article is Rowing Against the Current, Botswana's Women Safari Guides Inspire and Empower. Now, the opening of the article describes this, like, idyllic, calm expanse of Botswana's Okavango Delta on a beautiful morning, you know, when the sun's rays are making the surface of the water glitter. And it's described as a pristine oasis in the heart of the Kalahari Desert, where there's all of these Makoro canoes snaking through the waters. And these Makoro canoes are what people are transported in when they're on expeditions and on safari here. I don't know if anyone has Googled the Okavango Delta, but I highly suggest it because it's just beautiful.
Oh, okay.
I'm not going to try to describe it, so you guys go out there and look it up. And some of the people leading these expeditions are courageous women like Bontle Cindy Mothoga Athobogwe, who defy convention and gender roles to guide travelers through this breathtaking wilderness. Mothoga Thobogwe's story is a testament to resilience and determination. She was raised in the village of Boro, and she honed her skills navigating the Delta's labyrinth of channels from a very young age. And a lot of kids learn how to do this because it's her community's main mode of transport. But now she stands as a proud ambassador of her heritage, sharing the secrets of the Delta with visitors from around the globe.
I guess this is like also important because I haven't been on a safari, but I feel like, again, like in the media and stuff, when there's safari guides, they're like not even people who are necessarily like from the area.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another great aspect of that, that it's people who, you know, like really know.
Yeah, who are from the local community and who really know the ecosystem like the back of their hand.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
The Okavango Delta is not just a natural wonder. It is a fragile ecosystem, but it's teeming with biodiversity. So it hosts over 264 mammal species, 157 reptiles, and 540 bird species. And it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site of unparalleled importance.
Really cool.
But the conservation efforts extend beyond the Delta's borders. The Baye people, they're the indigenous people of that area, and it's a mm-hmm. community that Mothoga Athobogwe is part of, play a vital role in preserving this pristine wilderness, combating poaching, and safeguarding the delicate balance of its diverse habitats. And women like Mothoga Athobogwe are at the forefront of its conservation efforts, and they're proving that strength, skill, and passion know no gender.
Yeah, totally.
But it's been a really long and difficult road to empowerment. Women in the safari industry have faced barriers and stereotypes, but there are new initiatives such as the Female Guide Program, which was launched by African Bush Camps in 2021, that are trying really hard to tear down those walls. And programs like this aim to develop female safari guides through skills training, mentorship, job shadowing, and more so that they can thrive as guides, trackers, and leaders. And I guess like this is also a really important avenue of employment and financial independence for these women, because I'm sure a lot of the money that comes in is through tourism. And if they're only male safari guides, then it adds to the pay gap, I suppose you could say.
Yeah.
So Mothoga Athobogwe and her fellow Makoro Polar Beauty are part of a small number of female guides at the moment. And though they are few in number for now, their work is a shining example of progress. So through initiatives like the Karen Downey Women Empowerment Scheme, which Mothoga Athobogwe and Beauty are a part of, they're breaking down barriers and inspiring future generations of women to pursue their passions in the wilderness. And their impact extends really far beyond the safari industry. It's really about challenging norms and fostering inclusivity and paving the way for a more equitable future on the whole. So all of these women's journeys are a testament to the power of resilience and determination, even though things are not really in their favor. So if you do have the good fortune of embarking on a safari adventure one day perhaps in Botswana. Just remember the incredible women who are leading the way. And maybe you can even request a female guide. Join the movement. Their stories always remind us that gender should never limit our aspirations or dictate our potential.
Totally. I'd love to have one of these women as a guide in the future if I make it out there.
And honestly, like, I bet it feels safer as well in some cases.
Yeah.
For instance, I went with my sisters when I was on safari, and it would have been nice to have like a woman's guidance or a woman's perspective. Maybe we'd be able to relate to each other a little bit better. So that would have been a really nice experience.
I think this is a great solution for something, you know, I didn't realize there was such a lack of representation in the industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was a really great roundup of solutions.
Yeah, it was.
We have some other great solutions from this week that you can find on our website, optimistdaily.com. And they include
Choosing Hope, a positive guide to navigating climate chaos. That's very convenient for today's theme. So I'd highly recommend checking that one out as well.
Mm-hmm.
NaviLens, championing inclusive urban transport for the blind and visually impaired. Brazil's inventive response using Wolbachia mosquitoes to combat dengue outbreaks. Why is Easter so early this year? Exploring the moon's impact on Easter, Passover, and more.
We also have 5 essential work skills to enhance your resume in 2024. What is intellectual humility? How intellectual humility unlocks learning and understanding. How the Trees Initiative will help reverse deforestation in Africa. And the future of healing. 3D printing skin directly onto open wounds. Wow, incredible.
If you want to start your day off right, make sure to subscribe to our free daily newsletter to get our solutions straight to your inbox.
We also have a lot more on our social channels. You can find us at The Optimist Daily on almost all of our platforms. The only difference is on X. On there, we are Ode to Optimism.
Yeah, and we're a small team of optimists working hard to bring you positive news. If you want to support our mission of putting optimism into the world, click on the link in the show notes to find out how.
And remember that support doesn't always have to be financial. You could recommend our podcast to a friend, leave a positive review on Apple or Spotify, or forward a link to a loved one. Sharing our solutions on your socials would also be a huge help. Any of that will really assist us and support us in our mission of spreading optimism out into the world.
Yeah, let's get those solutions out there. We hope you're feeling a little more optimistic after hearing these.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye!